shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over shortwave radio station WWCR. That's on two transmitters, transmitter 1 and transmitter 3. Transmitter 1 is 3.215 megahertz, and transmitter 3 is 4.840 megahertz. We're also being heard over radio station WBCQ, and that is 7.490 megahertz. You can go to their websites and find a link to listen directly over the internet, or you can go to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com. Go to our radio page, and you'll see links for both those stations and a direct link for the Kingdom Concepts broadcast. If you'd like to participate in tonight's program, you can call our toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE, 877-924-7722. Both denominational Christians who only know the milk of the Word and identity Christians who understand the strong meat found in the Scriptures need to draw closer to our God in all aspects, keeping His laws, His precepts, and thus the nation will be greatly blessed. We must never stop learning and applying these truths to our lives. This is something we'll be discussing tonight with my guest. He's a Bible scholar who started his ministry as a denominational minister and since then has learned our identity as Israel and many other truths. I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Pastor Everett Ramsey.
It's good to be back. I'm looking forward to a good time tonight as we talk about the many truths that we can, and hope the people will ask questions if they have them.
Well, Scripture tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate, and yet most denominational Christians and even those who believe the kingdom identity message are often just like the rest of the world. What are some of the areas that should set us apart from the worldly masses?
Well, of course, I believe the scripture you quoted, Paul talking to the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesians, and he was saying to come out and be separate, and the word that has been put in the King James Version is them, or, and preachers take that word them, being separate from them, as meaning things, and that's not necessarily all bad, but the whole scripture context is talking about evil people, and is talking about people who are of a different race and a different place to start. It's not of the family of God, the sons of God. So one of the first things we have to learn is that we can't hang around with the people that are come from a culture of other gods and away from the Lord and expect to grow and expect our family to be strong in the Lord and in His laws and His statutes and His judgment. That's one reason the Lord, and when He was here, the Lord Jesus Christ, as some people say Yeshua, and Yahshua, but I don't think the name is necessarily the key to the answer there. But Jesus Christ said He would build His church upon this rock, meaning the faith which Peter had expressed in who Jesus was. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He was the Anointed. And the Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the word ecclesia is translated church, which means called out. Called out not from the world and other all other races, but called out from Israel. And in the chapter 15 of the book of Acts, Paul had gone back to the city of Jerusalem to meet with the elders, and they were discussing the conversion of the, quote, unquote, Gentiles, the dispersed 10 tribes of Israel who had been divorced and were now dispersed among the nations and called Gentiles. And many of the people of the house of David in Jerusalem, of the house of Judah, they were opposing this. They were trying to impose upon them circumcision and impose upon them the sacrificial system. And they were having a great discussion about this. And in that particular passage, James sums it up and says this is the fulfillment of the scriptures according to Hosea and Amos, that the tabernacle of David was being rebuilt, and the Lord was calling out of Israel a people for his name. So in this age we call the church age, it is a time where God is calling people out and calling them to assemble, and in that assembly they will be given the gift of pastors and teachers who can teach them the ways of God. And not only teach them the laws of God and the statutes of God and the judgments, but they will be a source of strength and counseling. And this is where people can find solutions for their troubles as in marriage relationships or in the relationship of raising children. And the problem is that the modern church has ceased to teach the laws of God, the statutes of God, and the judgments of God, and therefore they don't have any counsel to give. They, you know, a family can come to the church, to the pastor, and say, my son is now 12 or 13 years old, and he's beginning to rebel, and he's not obeying his parents. We go to Sunday school. We go to church. We read the Bible, and we do all the things that are supposed to be Christian, and yet he's rebelling. But the reason is he's rebelling is they've got him in a public school. He's being taught the ways of the world, the ways of Satan, the ways of the wicked. And he has to be taken out of that situation. In fact, it may be too late at that point. Usually children by the age of 7 or 8, you know, the old Catholic doctrine was, give us your child until they're 7 and they'll always be a Catholic. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that the faith of a child is settled early in their lives, and it begins to be built in their lives during their early years. And so the Lord expects his people to gather together, and that's something that I'm beginning to see happen in my life and in the life of the people I minister to. We've had here in Houston, Missouri, we've had at our ministry center once a month, we have a Bible study. We started out with 2 families several years ago. And my wife, she cooks a meal on Sunday at 12 o'clock. We gather to eat. After that, we have a little fellowship and prayer, and then we study the Bible. And that group has grown from those first 2 families to as high as 40. We've had 40 people on a couple occasions, and now we've opened a new Bible study in Mountain Home, Arkansas. And we've had a group in Wisconsin. We're going to be in Wisconsin the latter part of this month. We've got a group in Wichita, Kansas, where they're now meeting. And we have joined forces with Dr. Blanchard out in Idaho, who is putting together what's called a Bible boot camp, which will help people to have Bible study groups in their home, and they will be simple to run. They'll be taught the Word of God, and they'll be taught the truth of Israel and who we are and how we're to live for the Lord. But I still find many, many people who don't believe that it's important for us to have a congregation, an assembly. I'm not talking about having a regular church where you spend millions of dollars on a building and you have to have an organ and have to have, the fancy ministries. But so many of our people, and rightfully so, I'm not criticizing them, they're so sick and tired of the established church that when you begin to talk about church, they cannot think in terms other than the modern church, and so they say, I don't want any of it. But we meet once a month in many places, and we congregate. We meet in motels. We meet in homes. We don't have buildings. We meet in places where we don't have to have great expense. And when the money, the tithes and offerings are given, they're given to help people. They're given to spread the gospel. They're given for the preaching of the kingdom message. And so our congregations are growing. And it's something that I've always prayed for. When I first got into this message back in the 80s and 90s, it was hard to find a group where they met on a regular basis. But it's in that congregation. The Lord created the church. He is building his church. I realize some people are going to say, well, you know, I believe the church is the whole body of Christ. And that's not wrong necessarily. But the church, the New Testament is filled with teaching about the local church, the church at Ephesus, the church at Galatians, and the church at Rome, and the church in many places. So every place had an assembly or a congregation of the called out of Israel who know the Lord, have been touched by the Spirit, who have a desire to learn and to fellowship and to teach. And it's in that assembly where much authority was given to the local assembly and to the church. Number one is they were given the authority to baptize and to perform the Lord's Supper. They were given the authority to discipline if someone is living in open sin and violating the laws of God and shaming the Lord Jesus Christ, to call them to accountability. It's in that local assembly where the people, every one of God's children are given gifts of the Spirit to use. Some have the gift of administration. Some have the gift of preaching. Some have the gift of teaching. Some have the gift of exhortation. And so everyone has a gift. And it's in that congregation where they have the best and most powerful way to use that gift. And they also, the greatest gift, and I've preached on this many times, I have several sermons on this particular gift and power and authority given to the local church to oppose the gates of hell in our communities, in our governments, and in our authority, those who have authority in the civil area. I've had many experiences where God has intervened when we've had what we call courts of divine justice. And that's done through the church. It's not something that an individual can particularly do by themselves. It's something that they need the congregation of God behind them. So the church has a great place in the life of God's people, the assembly of God's people for joint worship. And we need to have joint praise and singing and a joyful noise unto the Lord. These are things that keep us close to the Lord and warm in our heart to him. And we can help each other and lift each other up. So that is some of the important things that I see. And when I pastored, it was always a joy to be able to teach the people and to answer their questions and to counsel them. And many of the people, this is one of the things I've said, Brother Mike, is that when I preach to people in the Israel message, I'm not preaching to a very ignorant crowd. Most of the people in the Israel message know their Bibles. They've worn out Bibles. My first wife passed away, and I was fortunate. God gave me a wonderful, wonderful woman, Missouri Ascended Faith. Well, they have so much liturgy and nothing really is ever taught, so they never took their Bibles to church. And the first thing that my wife said when she began to go to church with me and when she began to hear our message and to see the people of God that we minister to, she said, my goodness, you people really use the Bible. And that's true. We do use the Bible. Now, I'm grateful that she had a great knowledge of the Bible. She had sort of pulled away from the Lutheran Church, but she was unhappy with it, and she has come total circle into the gospel of the kingdom and the message about Israel. So she's very happy to be in this church movement, in the kingdom movement. And I've found that to be true with most women. This is a counsel I would give men. If you come to the faith of the who Israel is and who you are, and you want your wife to accept that, you're not going to get it by forcing her. You can't walk into the kitchen one morning and say, well, I've made up my mind that we're Israel, now I want you to believe that. When I came to that message as a Baptist preacher years ago, my wife did not necessarily like some of the teachings. She didn't believe some of the teachings. And I put my arms around her, and I hugged her, and I said, honey, I love you, and you don't have to believe what I believe. All I ask is that you listen, you study, you pray, and you ask questions. And it was not long. It was less than a year that she came full circle to believe the message and to stand for the message and to testify for the message. And the same thing with my second wife. When she came on, I told her the same thing. You don't have to believe what I believe. You have to come to conclusions on your own. And yet she's full scale. She's full knowledge and full power. And she, to hear her testify and witness to other people is really a great thing to behold in my heart. So we can't use force to make people believe. The Holy Spirit has to do that. And, Brother Mike, these are some of the things that I see, that I wish that our people had a little bit stronger desire to be a part of a congregation of like-minded people. And yes, they may have to travel, but they don't have to go every Sunday. They don't have to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, I said, in one of my sermons not too long ago, the little poem that I used to read, as Mary had a little lamb, he would have grown to be a sheep, but he joined a Baptist church and died from lack of sleep. And that's kind of the way things are. The main church, they keep you busy, but nothing that is important. So our people, they come once a month and they're excited and they love it. And they, in fact, I have people who come here and then go to Mountain Home, the first Sunday of the month. So, we don't need to have the same schedule all the other churches have. We just need to have a time when we get together and we love each other and pray for each other and hold each other up in prayer.
Where two or three are gathered together, there is he also. And the early church did meet in the homes, and similar to what you're talking about now.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that came out of this conference we were just in out in Tulsa, there was one of the preachers had a great message on we've lost our stamina to stand up for the truth. And I don't mean by that I don't think we need to be angry white folks who are going around trying to stir up a fight all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know, we need to be like the three Hebrew children that were in the fiery furnace. The king told them to bow to the idol, and they said, "We will not bow. We cannot bow." And he said, well, he said, if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in the fire. And their answer was, my God is able, our God is able to deliver us. And our people are strong on that part of the standing. But the part we need to get stronger on is the next part. What they said is, they said, our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. And that's where we need to be. We need to be able to go into, if we have to, into a court of law. I've been there. I know what it's like to stand up in a court of law and they tell you to close down your Christian school, and I have to stand up and say, I can't do that. And they say, well, if you don't do that, we're going to throw you in jail. And I was, thank God, I had the power of the Holy Spirit to give me that power to say, well, that's all right. My God is able to deliver me, but if he doesn't, I'm still not going to do what you've asked me to do. I have to obey him. And yes, I went to jail, but the Lord saw me out and brought me out. So the Lord is able to deliver. But if he's not, we still need to obey the Lord. And that's part of what the church is for, is to pray for each other and strengthen us in this battle that we have with the gates of hell. The Lord promised us that the gates of hell could not prevail against the church, against the called out, the assembly. And that's where the work is. That's where the power is. And that's why I think it's so important.
Well, there's a spiritual basis for everything that we do politically and everything else in our life. And too often the Judeo-Christian churches want to separate that, and, well, especially the government wants to separate it, like Christianity is, or religion is something you just kind of put on the shelf and take care of, you know, maybe one day a week, but you obey them as our God.
Right. Well, of course, that's true. The Roman Empire in the early church said you can worship any god you want to, but when you come out of that worship, you've got to say Caesar is Lord and obey the Roman laws. And that's the part they couldn't do. And that was the part we couldn't do when we were in Nebraska. And they said, you know, you can believe anything you want to about God, but you just can't do it. You just can't act on it. Well, that's not freedom of religion. That's not freedom of Christianity. That's not anything at all like what we're supposed to do. And I remember in our case, they said, well, you know, we want to know what it is that makes history religious or math religious. You say you've got to teach your children in a Christian school about all kinds of everything has to do with God. Well, we'd like to know how that is. And I said, well, you know, Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, well, what is truth? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And 2 and 2 is 4, if that's truth, then it came from God. It's part of his creation, part of his work. And the same thing with anything in science that's truth. And if it's not truth, it shouldn't be taught. And, of course, we don't believe evolution is truth, and we don't think evolution ought to be taught, so we didn't teach it in our schools. But they wanted it taught in the schools. So that it's a constant battle between the wicked and the righteous, and against the seed of Satan and the seed of God. And the problem is the seed of the Lord has to have help to stand up. We're weak, and we don't do our job correctly, and that's what the church, the assembly, is for. And I'm grateful for the people who are attending our assemblies around the country that we have, and they are standing so far, at least, in the areas that they need to stand in. And we pray for them, hold them up, and we've had several areas where we have prayed imprecatory prayers in the area of pedophilia, and it's not a surprise to me that today the United States government has over 5,000 sealed indictments against people in government and high offices and churches and organizations and corporations, not only in America but in other countries, who are about to be arrested for pedophilia. So the Lord answers prayers in many, many ways, and I think it's through the church where we get the most results.
Well, that's right. If the church is teaching the truth, it applies to a lot of areas that people don't even think about, like taking a marriage license or different kinds of licenses or even the food laws, which are to our blessing if we keep the food laws of the Scripture.
Absolutely. And you're right about the licenses and the marriage. I quit performing state marriages over 30 years ago. I haven't married anyone with a state marriage license in years and years. Somebody says, well, can you be married without a state license? Well, of course. In this country, people were married. There was no such thing as a marriage license by the state in this country until the time of the Civil War. And the first license, any time the state puts a license out, it usually means that they're going to legalize something that is scripturally unlawful. And the first marriage license issued in the state of Virginia and in the United States was so that a black man, a black woman and a white man could be married. Well, that's unlawful in God's laws, and that was not possible. The churches wouldn't perform it, so they had to do it from the state. Well, preachers failed. And this is where I think God is going to condemn preachers in a great way is because they have forsaken the Old Testament, which teaches us the laws, the commandments, and the judgments of the Lord. And thank goodness there are many, many, many more of our people that are getting married through the church license and not through a state license. And that is just a much better way to go, and it eliminates a lot of the problems that the state marriage license creates. If you get married by a state marriage license, the state is a third party to the marriage. They're going to take oversight over your assets if you ever get divorced. They're going to take charge over your children. They're going to take charge over everything in that marriage that they can have control of. And if you get married outside of that and you get married with a church license, then you're going to be married under God and you're going to have a covenant marriage. And to break that covenant is much more dangerous and will carry a much stiffer penalty than anything the state could put upon you. So I promote that kind of a marriage way, way favorable over a state marriage license.
Well, these are some of the things you've learned over the years that I'm sure you didn't originally recognize when you were a denominational pastor.
Well, of course, when I first started out, one of the things that I've learned over the years is when you go to Bible college and seminary, and I went to a lot of them, you're going to learn what they want you to learn. They want to teach you their slant on the scriptures, their program in the scriptures, and they teach you to obey Caesar down to the last nth law, you know. I've never yet heard a seminary professor stand up in his classroom and tell you that if the government asks you to violate the laws of God, then you have to stand up even if you go to jail, even if they kill you, even if they take your assets, even if they run you out of the country. No matter what they do, if they're going to keep you from obeying God, you've still got to obey God and take the consequences. I've never heard them say that. And so consequently, most pastors never get to that level. There's nothing in the average church today, there's nothing that's worth really fighting for or standing for. And yet God put us in this world to be an opponent, an obstacle, and a confrontation with evil. And that's what we need to do. Now, we don't need to be nasty, and we don't need to be ugly, and we don't need to go out and purposely hit people on the head with a tuba fork just to be ornery. But we need to stand up and say, this is wrong. Just like John the Baptist when he went into the king and said, you have committed sin or you committed adultery. It's wrong. You have killed a man and taken his wife and you've put away your wife or killed your wife. And of course, John the Baptist lost his head over that. But the Lord said there's no greater man that has lived than John the Baptist. So there's praise to be had for that. And there are licenses, the churches have allowed themselves to become incorporated in 501c3s, and they've allowed themselves to be put under the domain of the government, and therefore they are not able to stand up and preach the real truths of God in their churches and teach people how to live and how to walk straight and how to have the blessing of God. I'm convinced that America is in trouble today because we've forsaken His law. And we've forsaken His word and His statutes and His judgments. When this country was formed, they said no king but Jesus. They did not want King George. They didn't want anybody to be king but Jesus. And you couldn't hold office unless you were a Christian. You couldn't be on a jury unless you were a man and you were a Christian. You professed faith in the Lord. And you couldn't be a judge. You couldn't be a school teacher. You couldn't have any power or position unless you were a Christian. Well, that's long since been gone. And the trouble is most churches, most pastors, and most of God's people think that's great. If you stand up in the average church today and tell them that we need to make the laws of God, the laws of our country, they'd boo you out of the pulpit and throw you out the door. They don't want to live in a place where they have God's laws. And yet that's the part we have to have to be blessed. I don't know why God hasn't destroyed America already. We're so wicked and so ungodly, and we've turned so far against Him It's only by the grace of God and His mercy for His remnant of people that are still left in this country that He has not yet destroyed us. But I still say that we're going to have to answer for the sins that we've brought upon this nation. And if people in watching this Kavanaugh nomination, if people watching that were not turned off by that and what was happening, then there's something wrong with the people who are watching it. The liberals have taught our children that it's all right to go out and live together unmarried, to have sex anytime you want to with anybody. You can choose your own gender. You can disobey your parents. You can do whatever you want to do. And then when Mr. Kavanaugh was brought in and accused of some of those things, the very people who said it was okay said he can't be a judge. Well, I don't think Mr. Kavanaugh is a saint. I don't think he's perfect. And I don't think he's necessarily innocent of maybe some misconduct. But we're all sinners, and nobody's perfect. And for the people who have taught us to violate God's word, to then try to hang a guy who may have violated the laws of God, is such high-scale hypocrisy that it's beyond anything I can think of. And so our people, our real future is in the hands of God's people, in the hands of God. And if our people don't get their children out of these government schools and away from the ungodly teaching that goes on there, there's no hope in the immediate future that I can see. We're going to continue to go down the road of destruction.
I was going to say they oppose him for one reason only. That's the right things he did. They drug up all these accusations because they didn't want him on the Supreme Court for his right decisions. Well, but nobody ever mentions his wrong decisions, such as the violation of the Fourth Amendment, where you have the government spying on you and everything. Right. That's the same with any of us. If we're opposed because of the right things we do, not because of the actual sins or the wrong things we do.
Absolutely. It was interesting. As I was studying this week, you know, they call us bigots. And the word bigot comes from the word begotten or begotten. We are begotten of God. And that makes us a bigot in the eyes of the wicked. So I guess I'm glad to be a bigot. I'm glad I'm begotten of God. And that we need to not be ashamed. Some of the words they throw at us are not bad words. Racist is not bad. It's not a bad word. There is a time when you need to have some racial separation. There is a time when you need to understand that not all races are the same. God does not treat all races the same. He has chosen the race of Adam and the race of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Israel, and He's given covenant to them. And as far as I know, He's not given covenant to anyone else. And so if you're going to want a God to not be your term racist, it isn't going to happen. He is God. He is sovereign. And He's going to elect and choose who He wants. And He has a right to do so because He made us and He created us. And God's people need to understand that God doesn't love the devil and wickedness and evil. He's not going to just shut His eyes and overlook all that.
Can't coexist with evil. Our job is to prevail against the gates of hell, as you mentioned earlier, not to coexist with them.
Absolutely.
And we need to know racial truths and all the laws of God in order to properly administrate not only our home, but the nation. If you don't know them, that's what's causing the problem.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the Lord, over 67 times in the Bible, a particular thing is condemned called the doctrine of Balaam. And the doctrine of Balaam was found in the Old Testament where the land of Moab, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, there were probably 2 or 3 million of them. They were encamped down in the valley. And the king of Moab looked out over those tents and he knew that God was with Israel. And Israel was going to destroy the Moab and some of the other Amalekites and others. and he called for Balaam, the priest of Balaam, to come and curse Israel. And we can't give you the whole story because they don't have enough time, but Balaam, God didn't want him to go, but he went anyway. And then, of course, the donkey saw the angel with the sword trying to stop him, and Balaam kicked him, the donkey, he wouldn't go, and finally that's when the donkey turned around and said, "What have I done to you to cause you to smite me?" And his eyes were open, and he saw the angel of the Lord with the sword, who said, "It's a good thing your donkey was a little bit stubborn, or you would have been killed." And when he got there, he tried to open his mouth to curse Israel, and God put a blessing in his mouth for Israel. He could not curse them. He could not bring a curse on Israel. And the king of Moab fired him and said, "You go home." But before he went home, he took the king of Moab by the side and he said, "Look, I can't curse Israel, but I can sure tell you how to get God to judge Israel and to destroy them." And he said, "You just need to get your women to go over and flirt with their men and have sex with them and bring them over and fall in love and let them come over and eat with you and go to the feast of your gods, and God will destroy them." And sure enough, that's what they did. They sent their women over, and they brought the men of Israel over, and some of the women of Israel got with the men of Moab, and there was, I believe it was 23 or 4,000 that died, and finally they got that stopped. But then that doctrine of mixing of the races and their gods has continued on down to this day. And even in Revelation, the Lord said about one of the churches, "I have this against you, that you have some in your church that have the doctrine of Balaam." Well, the modern-day church in America and around the world is filled with the doctrine of Balaam. There's not a church that I know of that won't allow and promote interracial dating, interracial marriage, interracial social together, and that's the doctrine of Balaam. And the Lord says that he will bring quick judgment on any nation who follows that doctrine, and that's where we are today. And we're so afraid somebody's going to call us a racist, or they're going to call us a hater. Well, I'll tell you, the people who promote these evil doctrines that causes God's judgment upon us, they're the true haters. They hate God's people, and they're doing what Moab did. They're trying to get us killed. They're trying to get God to kill us. So what they're doing is they're teaching us how to violate God's laws and enjoy ourselves and our own lusts and sexual sins so that we can be killed and destroyed. And we just need a bunch of preachers who will stand up for the truth and be honest with the people about the laws of God. That's what we need.
Well, it's only a small remnant, as you know.
Yeah,
why don't you give us your contact information, people who would like to contact your ministry, and let them know how to get a hold of you. Maybe they can form some of these local congregations themselves, home congregations.
Yeah, well, and we'll be glad to help them do that. They can contact me. The best way, they can write to me, Everett Ramsey, or they can just use the initials of the church, FBC, Faith Baptist Church. And our subtitle is, of course, Assembly of God's Covenant People, but we still keep that FBC for reasons I can't go into here, but I can explain to anyone why we do that. FBC, if you want to contact us by mail, is P.O. Box 1818. FBC, P.O. Box 18, Houston, just like Houston, Texas, only it's Houston, Missouri. And our zip code is 65483. And if they want to call us, they can call us on our landline that has an answering machine. If they'll be real clear with their name and their phone number, I'll call them back. And the phone number is 417-967-2011. And they can go to my website. If they do the internet, they can go to my website, which is EverettRamseyDD.com, and I've got easy ways for them to contact me on the website. They can fill out the form and send me an email, and I'll answer them. So those are about three ways to get hold of me.
And if anybody would like to call and talk to you tonight with a question or comment, you can call our toll-free number, 877-924 877-877-7722, 877-YAHS-RACE. I found that over the years, a lot of people who have learned the truths we teach in the Kingdom Identity Message have left not because they're turned off by the truths, they still believe it, but they're turned off by some of the people they meet. There's some people who lack character, and they need the fruits of the Spirit in their life that sometimes the denominational church people show, but sometimes it's lacking among our own people. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, yes. I've always been disturbed by two or three things among God's Israel people. Number one is we have some people who have been persecuted by the government or by some other power, and they're just angry. And they take that anger out on their brothers. They take it out on preachers. They take it out on people who are trying to help them. They're just obstinate. They're backward, and they refuse to cooperate. And then there's a group of people in our group that they're hung up over what I call trivial doctrines. Now, maybe no doctrine is real trivial, but in the scheme of things, there are some things that people argue about and demand that are not going to determine whether we have everlasting life or whether we're redeemed or whether we have God's blessing. And those are some of the little things that we argue about, like the name. What name are we going to use? Or what day is the Sabbath on? Or do we believe in oneness or Trinity? Do we believe in that Jesus Christ was God, or do we believe he's a man? Now, that's important, because the Lord said that if they deny that I'm God, then you will not be in the kingdom. But there's so many little things that we get all hung up about. They argue.
But they're majoring in the minors.
Yeah, that's right. And then there's people that are really, truly in the group that don't follow the law. They actually defraud people, and they steal from people, and they swear, and they curse, and they have anger, and they have just a lot of things that they should not have. They're not a good witness and testimony for the Lord with that kind of an attitude. So, yes, our people need to learn just some of the to have some of the sweet spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit would give us, those fruits of the Spirit of patience and wisdom and knowledge and caring and long-suffering and so forth. We saw that in the conference out this weekend, and in our conference last April, we saw it in our meeting. We had good spirit. We had great spirit, and they had a great spirit today. So it was better in those, but I have been in many places where it has not been a sweet spirit, and I don't understand that. I've even seen a few people who call themselves preachers who don't have a good spirit, and I don't think that's justifiable. I think that's a hurt to the cause of Christ. And we need the power of the Spirit. We need the anointing of the Spirit. We need the fire of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. We need the power of the Spirit. And the Spirit is not going to abide and work where there is not obedience and love for the law and the Word of God. And so that's why we need to have the continual learning and training and fellowship together. But those are some of the things that I see.
Yeah, Christ said, greater things ye shall do, and they're not happening. I think he needs to see that we have those attributes, the fruits of the Spirit, along with our understanding of his laws and other truths, if he's going to entrust anybody with such greater powers.
Right. Well, and I want to say that I have seen in and among our people the power of God work. God's hand is not short. He can save, and he can heal, and he can still do the miracles that he always did. I know that my wife, she had a stress test not too long ago on her heart, and the stress test said that she had some abnormalities, and she already had one stent in her heart. She's 70 years old, and the doctor said, we believe that we're going to have to put in a couple of more stents, but we're going to take you into the hospital, and we're going to go up and look. And so before we went in, I anointed her with oil, and I laid my hands upon her, and I prayed unto the Lord, And I quoted James chapter 5, and you know, I said, Lord, if she's sinned, forgive her. And she's important to me and to the ministry. She's needed. She's given herself to the cause, and she loves you, and she studies your word, and she obeys you in all things. And I said, you know, Lord, we need a clean bill of health here. We need her to be strong. And we went in fully expecting for them to come back with a bad report. But after 35 minutes in the operating room, they came back. They had run up her a blood vessel in her arm into her heart. And they came back, and the doctor was amazed. She said, I can't believe it. Your heart is perfect. There's nothing wrong. We don't need to do anything. You can go home. Hallelujah. We were happy. We were praising the Lord. And I'm convinced that God did some work on her heart in those few minutes before she went in. And I've seen this happen in at least two other cases with two other people. Now, I've seen a prayer for people who were sick, and they died, too. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I believe when people live right, when their hearts are right, when they're serving God, and they're trying to bring about His kingdom work, and they're still needed, and they're functioning, God can bring some miracles into their life. I've seen it happen financially in some cases. I've seen it happen health-wise in some cases. So, I've seen it happen with children who have been reclaimed when parents were willing to make the right changes. I had a particular case where some children were becoming unruly and turning away from their parents, and they were getting in trouble, and the parents were afraid they were going to be in trouble with the law. And I counseled them. I said, if you're not willing to put them in a private school, or put them in a Christian school, or teach them at home, or get them away from this evil doctrine in the schools, and if you're not willing to keep them away from the rock music and all of the evil friends that they affiliate with, and keep them in fellowship with God's Israel people, and there's not much we can do. And they made the decision to do all of those things, and we prayed, and in less than a year, their children were meek, they were good, strong, and obedient to their children, to their parents, and they were ceasing some of the many bad habits they had. So it's possible. God can do a lot of things if we're willing to follow His will and do His work.
Well, certainly the Apostle Paul used to be Saul, who was very wicked, and his life changed around more than just about anybody's, and it still happens today. I believe in miracles and healing and believing in changing people's lives. So there are still miracles today because we believe in our all-powerful God.
Absolutely. I even had a family that there was division in the family, the children, and the father were having trouble, and we counseled both of them and gave them advice as to what they needed to do to obey God and to live for God. We prayed with them, anointed them with oil, and God intervened. And slowly over time, this family got back together, and the fellowship is there. The parents and the children are now grown, and they were brokenhearted because they couldn't fellowship with their dad. Now they're fellowshipping with him. And he's got his joy back, and things are changed. So the power of God is still very much alive. It's just that we have to implement it through obedience to His law and to His word. And that's where the congregation of the Lord comes in, and the gifts of the preachers and teachers. We have to have the right preachers and teachers, and we have to have the right hearts of the people of God.
Well, also on an individual basis, well, Dr. Swift used to say, tell it, tell it, tell it. But I think most people come into the message because somebody told them somewhere, not because they went to a great big congregation somewhere. And when they tell them these truths, it's a blessing to them. They'll never know if they haven't heard it.
Well, that's true. And if we're just a little bit wise with how we approach people, normally, I tell people, if you want to reach, if you got a neighbor or a loved one you want to reach, find out what it is that's troubling them. Maybe it's the government. Maybe it's the rise in crime. Maybe it's the rise in taxes. Maybe it's the international scene. Whatever it is. And then find in the Word of God where it deals with that as it relates to Israel. and talk about how God solves these problems when we do what is right according to the Word of God. And that will get them to thinking. You can't give them the whole thing. The Bible says that we learn the truth of God one precept upon a precept. And you can't teach people a whole load. You got to give them one thought at a time and let them digest that. And then maybe another time, another thought. And that's the way sermons have to be. That's the way lessons have to be. We have to do it one precept at a time. And I think one of the problems is our people are so anxious. We're so happy that we've been, God has revealed to us the truth. We want to just share it with everybody. And the problem is, it's something that is learned by the Holy Spirit. And if we give them one piece of evidence that they can chew on and the Holy Spirit can use to reveal it to them, that's better to do it that way.
Paul said, I'm all things to all men. What he meant was that he related to them on the same level. I mean,
right. Yeah.
If somebody has a Baptist background, well, I was raised Baptist. If they have a Church of Christ background, I graduated from a Church of Christ college, or so on. I mean, there's a lot of other things, such as common interest in political events and so on.
Right. Well, yeah, I encounter people all the time that are complaining about some kind of wickedness that's going on, and I usually deal with that in the way of saying, well, you know, Noah and Noah's day, they had great violence and great wickedness, and there was a reason for it. And then I tell them to go home and read Genesis chapter 6 and see if they can find out what caused all that violence. And I've had some pretty interesting results from that from two or three people. So if you can find something that's really troubling them and they don't understand what is causing it, that's what we can do with that.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and some people don't realize that. They think that's of the past. But, for instance, one of his laws of stealing, it doesn't matter if you steal a cow or you steal an automobile, it's still stealing.
Yeah.
Or murder. It doesn't matter if you're murdered by a bow and arrow or a gun, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things that a lot of people are upset today about, is our judicial system doesn't really punish crime anymore. And so many things that the Bible calls a crime, our courts no longer call a crime. And we have to teach people that God is still the same. He's going to judge our country based upon his own people. I keep telling people this. God does not change history for or against the wicked. He changes history and the future based upon his will for his people. And so if he wants us to repent, if he wants us to wake up, and if he wants us to see our sins, he's going to bring pressure on us until we see our sins. He's going to keep pressing us financially. He's going to press us with our health. He's going to press us with all kinds of things until we finally cry out and say, oh God, forgive us of our sins and help us to live for you and know your word and know what we're supposed to do. So many people have gone to churches today that don't no longer teach the word. They no longer teach the laws of God. They think they're all gone. The commandments and the laws and the statutes are still valid. The only thing that Jesus fulfilled was the sacrificial laws when he came. And we need to realize that God is holding us accountable. He's holding us accountable for his word, his law, and his judgments. And if we violate them, we will pay a price for that if we do not repent. And so repentance needs to be preached to God's people every time we talk to them. And that's something most people don't want to talk about.
And most people don't know what to repent of because they're not taught in their churches the laws of God.
Absolutely.
And I'm afraid that if we have a crisis come upon this nation and the people, Christians, good people, want to repent, they won't know what's the correct way, and instead they'll turn to the government for their help instead of turn to God and his laws.
Well, that's true. But I think I think as in the past, the Lord will probably will have to disable the government's ability to be God. You know, that's too many of our people think government is God. They expect government to feed them and to heal them and to treat them and to house them and to clothe them and to do the things God wants to do. And yet God is the one who provides all these blessings. So you're right. It is a complicated and complex thing that we're faced with. But God has a way to reveal what he wants done. And I have faith in his ability to do so.
We've got about a minute left. Would you like to give your contact information again?
All right. One more time. FBC or Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 18, Houston, Missouri, 65483. Or my phone number, 417-967-2011, or my website, everettramseydd.com, and fill out the form, and it'll go to my email. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I also should mention that we publish a book of yours, Racial Difference, More Than Skin Deep, and our contact information will be given at the end of this broadcast, but that's an excellent book. It gives you the real problem behind race mixing, and we appreciate having you on the broadcast tonight, and I'd just like to say thank you, and we're just going to have to close right here.
All right. God bless you.
You too.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.